All right, so can we open our Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 6? As mentioned earlier, we have made today a day of fasting and praying, seeking God for things that we can't get any other way. And I hope this morning as we look into Scripture, I don't say anything too terribly new to you, because what I'm saying to you, I know we have said before probably many times, so why say it again? Inspiration. We need to be reminded and inspired to do as the Bible commands us. And so this is a very powerful portion of Scripture, and I'm hoping that it'll stir our hearts into action this morning. So I'm in Ephesians 6, and I'm starting at chapters 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done all, everything to stand, stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded up your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Lord, take your word this morning and stir our hearts, Lord, to conform to your word. Lord, remind us of your ways. And Lord, I pray that as we pull together as a community of believers to pray, that we will shake the heavens, Lord, that we will shake the powers of darkness, and not just shake, but God, let us be conquerors, let us be victors as we roll forward, Lord, shouting the cry of our God, which is victory over sin and victory over the enemy. In the name of Jesus, we claim this. Amen. Now, I'm just at the tail end of a cold, so you'll have to pardon me a little bit this morning. The other thing is I'm about to drop 3 inches because those shoes are going to kill me. When I read Ephesians 6:12, there's always this one thing that jumps out at me, and that is that we are to be involved in spiritual warfare. Now, a lot of people get very nervous about that, and they go too far with it, and they're casting demons out of chairs and weirdness like that. I want us to be logical and balanced believers. And staying away from spiritual warfare is not being a balanced believer. But going all crazy and calling everything and everyone a demon and everyone that upsets you and dropping a spoon is the act of the devil, you've gone too far the other way. We need balance. But you need to be involved in spiritual warfare. If you are not being involved in spiritual warfare, there is a problem. And I hope as we read this, it becomes enlightened to you as to why I say that. You see, fighting with people, that comes very naturally to us. We get all bent out of shape over the silliest little things. Like really, the serious little things that we make into great big issues. Things that have absolutely no eternal significance can tear a church apart. And brothers and sisters, that is a trick of the enemy. Because if he can get us turning on each other over silly littleness, he has done a good job. Because you see, when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't die for little things. He died for the souls of people. People are the prize. People is what we're after, and people is what we're trying to pull together. And Satan has been successfully turning us on each other, even on the sinner, as to look down on them, as to be so critical of them that we do not attract them to God at all. Whereas they are the prize. They are the ones that we are supposed to be reaching out with the love of Christ, showing them that God wants them to come to Him because God is love. And it is the souls of people that He died for. We'll hurt people with our tongues and tear each other down over meaningless things. And the scripture that we just read says that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against people. It's repeated in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not walk according to the flesh, but our weapons are of our warfare are not for the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destructions of fortresses. We're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but we ought to be in spiritual warfare. Satan is the one that is out to destroy, and he's out to destroy the prize, which is God's people. That's what he's out to destroy. Don't be going about doing his work. Wow. It pains me when I see the work of the enemy. When I see that the philosophy that the world carries about sex leaves behind young girls who are broken beyond words. Marriages that have been destroyed with the lies of the enemy, deep wounds in people because of the lies of Satan. Women who hate the body that God gave them because it doesn't look like a bum shell. Men who have lost their identity of men in the name of feminism. I could go on and on of the pain that people in our world are in, and they're on a hopeless path of destruction. And some of them don't even know it, and they have no idea, and they're going about filling their lives with destructive doctrines of demons. That's what the word said would come. The very definition of love has been so distorted, and it's getting into everything. I remember a Christian artist who once was standing in line at a, she shared this, she was standing in line and she was asking God for something in particular, and God was not breaking through and giving it to her. And while she was standing in line, she saw a mom in the front, and the mom had a two-year-old, and the two-year-old wanted something and was crying and throwing a holy fit about it and really wanted this thing, and the mom finally said, "No, you are not going to have that cigar." You know, sometimes we're like that two-year-old. We want the thing that's not good for us. And God is saying, no. But we have come to understand that love is getting everything we want. And so God, therefore, should give us everything we want, or he doesn't love us. Love is about caring for something more than yourself. That's what Jesus did on the cross. He cared for mankind more than he cared about his own flesh and blood, more than he cared about the pain and suffering. That's love. And that's one of the principles of fasting, is you put aside the cares of the flesh and you get into the cares of the spirit. And you're putting your focus on a cause, not to claim it on your selfish lusts, but for the kingdom of God. To do spiritual warfare. We need discernment to tell the spiritual from the physical and get into the battle. We need believers to be linking arms and fighting together this battle against the enemy. In the Ephesian scripture that I read, it refers to political forces. Well, this is not anything new. It says our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. And another place in Corinthians, it says our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness. Same thing again. And we're told in 1 Timothy 2:2, where we're commanded to pray for our kings and all who are in authority. That does not just cover your mayor or your premier. It covers kings and queens and rulers around this world. All who are in authority. You see, I honestly believe that when God's people are not praying, they leave the walls undefended. And that just allows that enemy to walk right in. We've let our guard down. We've put up no defense. And then we go, oh, woe is me. I don't like this. I don't like that. I'm not going to plug about voting. I'm going to plug about praying this morning. God has been involved in spiritual forces since the beginning of time. When you read through the Old Testament and you see the kings, and when a king was removed, and the troubles that God allowed to fall on the country of Israel, you see that it was directly in relationship to their obedience to God. And their obedience to God did have an impact on who was the ruler of that day. God has been involved. Consider what God did to get his people out of Egypt in the first place. You don't think God is involved in spiritual forces? But nowhere in Scripture do we see this as clearly as in the book of Daniel. Daniel was praying and fasting and reading the Scripture. I love that Daniel was into the Word of God. He was into the prophets. He was into the Old Testament. And Daniel was looking into the Word of God. And he noticed something in Daniel 9:3 that there was a prophecy that should be fulfilled. God's word is very specific, and it was 70 years since the sacking of Jerusalem, and Daniel knew that the prophet Jeremiah had said 70 years, or Ezekiel, pardon me, he said 70 years, and things would start to change, and that Jerusalem would be re-inhabited again, and Daniel saw that day coming because he was in the word. And he said, I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Because he saw the word of God was being fulfilled. Do you guys know that the word of God is being fulfilled at staggering rates concerning the end time prophecies? It is staggering. It is literally jaw-dropping. Russia signed an agreement with Syria, agreeing to defend Syria, and then there was lots of other things in that agreement. It just went unnoticed in the news. But it was not unnoticed by theologians. And theologians were saying this agreement is the hook that will draw Russia into the war. As the scripture had said, Russia would come down. Gog and Magog, it's referred to in scripture, as a hook in his mouth. And it wasn't 3 months after that agreement was signed. Last week, there was the bombing of hospitals, and Syria was saying, Russia, you promised to get in here, get down here, and militarily back up the agreement you signed. Staggering. Absolutely staggering. The rate in which our prophecy is being fulfilled. And we see how Daniel reacted. I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. In that time period, Daniel also received some visions. And these visions were so upsetting, they made his stomach sick. He was physically ill. So again, it was a different kind of a fast. This other fast that we're going to read about in Daniel's 10, it says in those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks over the visions that he saw. The visions that he saw are the ones pertaining to our time right now. The visions that he saw that upset him is now. I didn't eat any tasty food, nor did meat or wine enter my mouth, nor did I use any ointment. I did not, the entire 3 weeks were completed. And he was praying. It's interesting that an angel came to Daniel, and he said, Daniel, from the time you started praying, I was dispatched from God. The day you started praying, I was dispatched from God to give you the understanding to what's going to happen in these latter days. That vision you had, it's about the future. It took him 3 weeks. And why? Because the prince of Persia, spiritual warfare, the prince of Persia stopped him. And it wasn't until Michael the archangel came into this spiritual battle that the angel was able to get to Daniel and to speak to Daniel and to give him the revelations that we have in our scripture today. All we have to do is open a book and read it. We got it easy. Why did the forces of darkness want Daniel to make this revelation to us? So that we'd be caught unawares. So that we would not understand what was going about and we would be caught up in the delusion. And I believe that as these days are coming to a close, that the enemy is attacking God's people. Even within the walls of this church, I know of so many that are going through probably the worst struggles of their life right now. Homes are being attacked. Marriages are being attacked. Health is being attacked. Our beloved brother, Danny Cormos, is not able to be with us this morning. He has been delivered a very serious medical sentence, and it's hard for him right now. We need to lift him up in prayer. We should be praying for him. Did anybody notice him missing? We need to be praying for God's people because I believe that when Satan attacks, we need to be fighting back. We cannot continue to leave our defenses down. We need to be involved in spiritual warfare. We also need to be prepared for battle. In this Ephesians scripture, we read about the armor of God. I sort of stumbled on the words. You might have saw me smirk. It's because when I was a little girl, I memorized this King James. And when I go to read it, even though I'm looking right at one word, King James pops out of my mouth. It's kind of funny. But we need to have the armor of God. Now, this is too deep of a scripture to cover in one sermon. It's best even for a Bible study. But let me give you a recap of what your armor is. Truth. That's your word again. Righteousness. The gospel of peace. Faith. Your salvation. The word of God. And prayer. Those are the ones we find in this text. You see, we are not to be laying back on our laurels and waiting for someone else to do the work. We need to be soldiers of the cross. Every voice needs to be heard before the throne of God, crying out for the lost, your loved ones. Don't delay. You haven't much time left. You need to be praying and allowing God to be working on that loved one. So often we're rendered useless in spiritual battle because we fail to put on that armor. Let me just touch on one. Say, for example, the helmet of salvation. You know, we say sometimes that's to protect our thoughts, but it says the helmet of salvation. I'm going to tell you something that helmet of salvation does for you. You see, your mind is steadfast, solid on the fact that you are saved by the grace through the blood of Jesus Christ. We need to stop feeling like we're unworthy for the battle, like we're this useless sinner and I know nothing. It's time to get over that. Get on your helmet of salvation. You were saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4:16 says you should be drawing near with confidence to the throne of God, not constantly moping around like you're some useless sinner. You've been saved by grace. Get past that. Jesus already fought that battle. So you may receive mercy and grace to find help in a time of need, the Hebrews says. That's why you draw near. And if you can't get past your guilt, then you're still fighting the very battle that Jesus claimed victory over. If you can't get past your guilt, you're going to be ineffective. Your focus will continually be on your weakness, your sin. Your focus needs to be not on that. It needs to be on the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and the victory. He gave you authority over every spiritual darkness. Claim that. It's yours. Use it. See, Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and he wants you to focus on your weakness. I'm going to share something. I hope it doesn't make you too nervous. But I remember one time Pastor Dan and I were involved in someone who was demonically possessed. And the Lord had warned us before by speaking to us personally. And the demon was saying to us, you're weak. You're weak. And the Holy Spirit just burst forth and said, it is not through our strength, it is not through flesh and blood, but by the power of the Lord our God that we come against you, leave. And that demon had to go. Because we don't come at the enemy with our strength. It is not flesh and blood. It is not about you in spiritual warfare. It's the forces of heaven and the forces of evil. And you are the one who prays it through. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Who are you listening to? The word of God declares that sin is forgiven. It's under the blood. Stop working from a sinner standpoint and stand up and get in this battle. If your prayers are hindered because of a certain sin that you are continuing in, then you need to get your heart right with God. Whatever it is that's holding you back, you seek God for the promised victory. Ask God to get to the root of that sin and deal with it. It could be an angry spirit in your heart. It could be critical spirit. These are not from God, and they're sin. And having said all that, remember that you're still in the flesh. And as long as you're in the flesh, you're going to struggle with sin. And if you think that you have to be perfect before you can be effective for God, you will never achieve that goal. You will never arrive at a place where you can say, now that I'm perfect. Because the minute you do, you're proud. Shame on you. None of us are perfect. None of us. It's what you do about the sin in your life that makes the difference. Learn to recognize your sin. Learn to repent. Apologize. Humble yourself. Admit when you made a mistake or acted wrongly. Make things right if you need to. Don't just blow past this part. But when you get past these things, you become a powerhouse for the Lord of God. Gird up your armor and prepare for the battle. Your weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And I think Pastor Dan and I have preached enough that you know what the word of God. It's important that you be in the word. Be involved in spiritual warfare. Be prepared for battle. And be on the alert. Be on the alert, it says. In verse 18, with all prayer and petition, praying at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping on the alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. The word alert comes up frequently in reference to the latter days. Jesus said it numerous times in Matthew when he's talking about the end times. Be on the alert, be on the alert, be on the alert. You know, when someone tells me to watch out for something, I think I better pay attention. There's two things that we're to be on the alert for according to Scripture. One is the coming of the Lord. You should be aware that the coming of the Lord is coming. Be on the alert. The second thing you need to be aware of is the enemy. Just as we considered earlier, Daniel was reading Scripture and he realized the events were about to take place on the prophetic clock. And those who are in Scripture can see that we're also witnessing that rapid succession. I've already said that. Jesus said, if the master of the house knew what hour the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert. We know, and we need to be on the alert. And we're told to be on the alert in prayer. And that is just more than knowing there is a spiritual battle. The word alert in some versions is often translated as watch. And if you look into the Old Testament, there were watchmen. And watchmen were far more involved in watching for the enemy. Sister, can we do that after the service, please? Sister? Can we do that after the service, please? Can I have you? Thank you, sweetheart. The watchmen were to be watching out, but they were more than to be watching out. The watchmen had something else to do. It was called being prepared. And being on the alert, if they say, watch out for a bear, that's more than just looking for a bear. You go walking in the woods, and they say, there's bears in the woods, watch out. You take bear spray. Right? And you make noise. You make sure you got noisemakers on you so that you don't startle the bear and they eat you. We don't want to get that. Being on the alert is far more than knowing about it. It's doing something about it. And when you're to be on the alert in prayer, it's far more than just knowing about it. It's about doing something about it. You need to be prepared. We prepare in numerous ways. We prepare by fighting in the Spirit. But we also, as we see here, we are prepared by praying at all times in the Spirit. Use the spiritual gifts. Now, I've heard this phrase downplayed, that's about praying in close communion with God, and they make an argument for that. But if you look over in Corinthians 14, you're going to find out that Paul, the same writer, uses this, pray in the Spirit. As I shall pray with the Spirit, I shall also pray with the mind also. I shall sing with the Spirit, and I shall sing with the mind also. There is something about using the spiritual gifts that we need. God gave the spiritual gifts to the church to strengthen us. And I believe that praying in the gifts is an important part of being prepared, allowing yourself to be filled with the Spirit. This is more than just a wonderful time at the altar. This is an important part of your armor. It is an important part of your power. And we are Pentecostal here. And I praise God that I have the freedom to say this. You need the spiritual gifts. Peter, a powerful man of God, fell because the weakest flesh. He was weak in the flesh. But after Peter received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there was no stopping that man. He was a force to be reckoned with. We need the gifts of the Spirit. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to pray through us because we do not comprehend that battle. Let's be honest, we are in the flesh and we don't fully get it. We need revelations. We need visions. We need to pray, allowing the Holy Spirit to pray through us. It should be part of your daily devotions. And when you are praying for someone and you're out of words, pray in the Spirit. And we are told that we should want this form of prayer. We should desire it. Paul, again, teaches in 1 Corinthians 12, 31, earnestly desire the greater gifts. And again, in 1 Corinthians 14, 1, pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. We need the gifts for strength. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, 4, one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. We need to strengthen ourselves. One who prophesies edifies the church. We need to strengthen the church. And then he goes on in verse 5 to say, I wish you all spoke in tongues. Now this is amidst a teaching on the proper use of the gifts. You got to have some balance again, and you got to use the gifts properly. It's not about show and look at me and, oh, I have gifts, because those gifts have nothing to do with you. They're Holy Spirit given, and they're given to those who have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ because you've been sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are now a vessel that the Holy Spirit can fill. And I'm hoping that tonight, when we have a time at the altar, that we will be able to lay hands on you just as they did in the olden times. And if you have not yet received the gift of the Holy Spirit, I want you to seek it. I want you to seek it and get that from God. It is for every believer. And these gifts were given to us in order to empower the people of God with strength so that we could stand firm. And it's important for us to have it in spiritual warfare. Be involved in spiritual warfare. Be prepared for the battle. Be on the alert. Be prepared. Be watching and knowing what God is doing. As I've said already, the enemy is actively seeking to destroy God's people from the face of the earth. He's been doing it since the beginning of mankind. I believe he has increased his efforts and his darkness is growing stronger. And I'm hearing so many believers feeling such a sense of hopelessness, such a sense of fear. And it's troubling, and I feel it too. I feel the hopelessness. I feel the upsettedness as loved ones I know who are not serving God. It rips me apart. And I know from Scripture that it's coming. It could be today. I don't want to be asleep when Christ comes and just waiting for whatever to happen. I want to be active. I want when Christ comes, he will find me faithfully working for him. And that does not mean vacuuming and preaching on the streets. Faithfully working for him in prayer as well. Not neglecting the things that he has told us to do. Brothers and sisters, it's time for us to rise and get on the offensive. It's time for us to take back what the enemy has claimed. We dedicated our children to the Lord. They belong to God, and I will fight for them. We can pray for our leaders. We can pray for our schools and our politicians. It is getting so hard for Christian teachers to be in the school. We will go around easily and let it roll off the tongue how horrible what they show and teach in schools. But are you praying for the teachers that are there defending you? Stop being critical and get praying. It's time for us to stand up. Pray for the lost. Love them the way Christ loved them. Don't judge them. Don't criticize. Love them enough to sacrifice yourself in prayer. Jesus loved them enough to sacrifice himself on that cross. I said this before and I'll end with this. We cannot stand if we do not kneel. Tonight we are going to have, like I say, a prayer time, 5:30. We're meeting here. It's not a normal service. It's not a sermon. I'm going to have to, excuse me. Thank you, John. I learned not to do that from Pastor Dan. We still remember when you blew your nose into the mic. It'll never go away. Tonight, we invite you to come back, and we are going to be worshiping God in song. There's power in music. There's spiritual power that is released. And we're going to be worshiping God in song. Gene, if you'd come forward, and Pastor Dan. And we're going to be praying for those who want to be filled. We're going to be praying for those who are sick and anointing them with oil. And we are going to be seeking God. And we are going to tear down fortresses. And just allowing the Holy Spirit to move as the Holy Spirit would move. But before we sing our closing hymn, I would be remiss if I didn't give an opportunity in this room for everyone here that if you want to receive that salvation, if you are still struggling with a sin and you say, Pastor Judy, I want to get my heart right with God. I want to stand up and be in the battle, but I don't feel my heart is right with God. I want every head bowed, please. No one looking around. No one. Every head bowed, please. If that is you, I want you to slide your hand in the air. I'm going to pray for you this morning, and I'm going to pray for you tonight. Thank you. Anyone else? I am trusting that we are going to take this message and we are going to apply it. Lord, I pray for that one that's raised their hand and the other two as well. Lord, thank you. Lord, I pray as we claim that helmet of salvation and we realize that we got to stop fighting the battle that you already won and start moving forward, that you will fill, Lord, their hearts with your Holy Spirit, with hope, with the firmness and faith in your word that declares that what you've called clean is clean, and that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to cleanse us. And Lord, move over them and allow them, Lord, to be free from guilt and shame, which is why you came. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.